Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
God's word, write this down. God's word shows us a life of blessings, okay? And it's a lifestyle. It sustains this life of blessing. Listen, sustains a lifestyle of transformation, a lifestyle of breakthrough. See, so we're dealing with stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I feel restrained. Oh my gosh, this is really difficult. I've got a barrier in my life. Well, this sustains a lifestyle of breakthrough. I live a lifestyle of breakthrough. My life, it's not, breakthroughs aren't like these miracles that just happen where it's like, oh my gosh, I think it was just a miracle, I had a breakthrough. No, this is a life of blessing and a lifestyle of breakthrough. Does that make sense? See, so that's got to be our mentality. The way a man thinks, so he is. If you're here today and you're believing God for a breakthrough, which is probably all of us, well, my lifestyle sustains breakthrough throughout my life, all right? There's a theme throughout the New Covenant, the New Testament, there's a theme. And it's that bold proclamation produces a bold response from heaven. Like if you're needing a response from heaven that's a breakthrough type response, the seed that we sow toward that breakthrough is a proclamation of faith. See, it's that the proclamation of faith is like this. There's a way that we can speak and our words just kind of float out there. And then there's a way for us to speak that our life comes along with it. Does that make sense? See, and that's what I'm talking about here with this bold proclamation that my life goes, that I'm going to preach this word. I'm going to preach this word to the point where my life is coming with it, where I'm going to make it difficult for you not to see what I'm trying to say. See, where there's a force that comes with this, and that this force is a force of heaven. So what does it do? It sustains breakthrough. So it could be finances. It could be health. See, what happens when we're singing this song, and God becomes our song, and we're singing this song, and this is how I fight my battles, that I feel surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. See, what happens now is cancer, a report of cancer or the symptoms of disease that are trying to occupy your life. They're like, wait a second, what? Surrounded by what? Surrounded by God? I'm out. See, the Bible says this. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God. Okay, submit yourself to God. Then the Bible, okay, what's that submission? I'm submitting to God's power. I'm submitting to God's strength. I'm submitting to God's will. I'm submitting to God's purpose. I'm submitting to God's love. So what am I doing? I'm ducking my life under that umbrella of God. Okay, so under that umbrella of God, now all I have to do, all I have to do now is resist. Everybody say resist. Resist. The devil. And the Bible says he flees. See, the problem with and any guys that are around realtors or around car dealerships, that Americans have a hard time saying no. There's so much, and really honestly, the enemy wants to remove fathers and males from the house. Because that's the primary duty of that dad is no. The buck stops here. Be home by 11. Man, let me tell you, I married a litigator. I produced litigators as kids. These guys come, well, Dad, here's Taylor. Well, Dad, be home by 11. Are you kidding me? No one has to be home by 11. I'm just looking at him thinking, no, what part of 11 don't you get? And here's the science behind him being home by 11. I went to bed at 11. So If he comes in at 11:30 and I've gone to bed at 11, I'm asleep. And what's he going to do when he comes home at 11:30? He's going to wake me up. So now I'm up for a while. So no, here's how this flow works in my house. Home by 11. Well, let me tell you, there's some security in that. See, and we create that when we lay down our parameters and create our margins in life. See, but what the enemy wants to do, the enemy wants to eliminate the margins you have in life, with your health or it's your finances or it's, the enemy wants to eliminate the leverage that you have. I am not going to make a deal in life, business deal, relational, anything, if I have no leverage. Not going to do it. I'm going to walk away. See, and we have to look at our lives that it's all about margins. It's about leverage. And then it gets us, if we've got margins and we have leverage, we're going to get to that overflow place. The Bible says that when we commit to the tithe, that God will pour out a blessing upon our lives that is so great, we won't have room to receive it. Except for, you know what? So now if I'm the devil, that's real easy for me to deceive believers in Jesus and people in covenant with God. It's going to be easy for me to say, well, wait a second, but God's not going to give you more than you need. Where does it say that in the Word? God's not going to have you do something that's more. I'm living proof that God has called me to do something that's beyond my natural capabilities. See, and we have to look at our lives and say, wait a second, I'm not limited by anything in this world but my own affections. So now my limits become my affections, and next thing you know, my whole life is limited. See, when we look at the bold proclamation that God's called us to make in life, and that's what our lives need to be, is I go to Acts 4, where Peter and John were thrown in jail, but they come out, and in Acts 4:29, it says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. See, I'm telling you, boldness, I go back to verses that are right before that in Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived them unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. God, look on their threats. See, there's the enemy's going to lay threats. Our life is surrounded by threats. It's threatening situations. It's things that we're worried about being exposed in our life, or that we're worrying about all this threatening. And it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And what do? I proclaim God's goodness. I proclaim God's promise boldly, that I may boldly speak his promise. See, and we have to understand that people have to see our boldness that's going to draw them to Jesus. Man, the world doesn't need a weak church. The world needs a strong church. So now we define strength. I can real easy. Immovable. Steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Think about that, steadfast. I'm not budging. I'm not negotiating. See, because what the devil wants to do with you, how old are you, son? The devil, let me tell you, the next 30 years of your life, the devil will try to be splitting the difference. Let's just split the difference. It's not that big a deal. You can have a little bit of win, split the difference. We're Christians. We don't split the difference. We don't negotiate. We don't compromise. You know, it's interesting because parts of life we're thinking, no, man, we got to learn how to compromise to have a strong marriage. We have to learn how to compromise. But then you think about it in politics or in business or in marriage. No, that's not going to work because they've been compromised. See, so the devil's going to take it. He's going to allure you into thinking, no, that seems reasonable. There's nothing reasonable about compromise. We don't want to raise our kids or our sons to compromise everything. Because then it becomes a pattern of compromise. See, what bold proclamation does in our lives is bold proclamation seeds the clouds of blessing so that the rainfall of blessing, the showers of blessing that God's promised us to have in our life, our proclamation seeds those clouds so that that blessing rains in our lives. Otherwise, we're just getting up, we're going, well, I'm hoping the formation of the clouds produces some rain, a blessing in my life. I'm up. No, you know what? Your proclamation seeds those and guarantees that those showers of blessing. You know, it's basically this. In Acts, the first chapter in the 8th verse, Jesus says this. Jesus says, look, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll think, okay, man, power. Okay, power for what purpose? That you'll be my witnesses. He said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. See, the bottom line here is that we're a part of a trial. Like right now, are you teaching? Are you preaching? Are you ranting? No, you know what I'm doing today? This is a refresher course for most people in here. It's just to stir up that gift of faith that's already on the inside of you with the word of faith. But what is it, man? What am I doing right now? I'm holding court. I'm not getting up and saying, man, is this okay? Man, you agreeing with this? It's like, no, here's what we do. Here is the marching orders of this army right here. Our life becomes a bold proclamation of the greatest news the world could ever have. Look, God loves you and God forgives you. But God wants to purpose your life, and the purpose of God in our life is conditional upon our character, upon our obedience, man, upon the right things coming out of our mouth. And see, we've got to do that. We're not puppets. We're not marionettes. God's not doing this. There's only one person, the only one thing on this planet that doesn't have options, and it's Lucifer. Everything else got options. So now the option for us in Romans, the 10th chapter and the 8th verse, the powerful set of verses here. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. Why would God first say the word's in your mouth? It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. See, we get this kind of bass backwards a little bit because we're thinking we've got to believe and then speak. But listen to this. Listen to this order here. Listen to this scenario. But what does it say? The word's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Okay? That's a word of faith that we preach. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. What comes first? The confession comes first and the belief comes second. But we're thinking that's unreasonable. We're thinking that's illogical. And really it is unreasonable, it is illogical. And you know what? Why? Because sometimes there's situations you're gonna face, you're gonna have to make yourself proclaim God's promise. And then you'll wait, you'll think, well, man, somebody else is going to do it. But guess what? You're the head coach of your life. You're going to have to bench fear. You're going to have to bench anxiety. You're going to have to bench doubt. You're going to have to bench, but doubt's logical. Doubt's natural. It's natural to have doubt. Man, everybody has it, but how do people overcome? They resist that doubt. They don't let that doubt play that day. You don't get to play today. What's going to play today? Strength's going to play. Power's going to play. Man, ability's going to play. The overcoming nature of God's going to play. And see, but verse 10 in Romans 10, it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But what comes first? The confession comes first. Man, say it. I'll live and not die. Yet it feels like I'm about to die. Yet all the reports I'm getting from science is that it's incurable. What am I going to do? See, we go to two different places. I'm going to go to Mark, and then I'm going to go to the book of Joel. In the book of Mark, in verse 22, Mark 11, 22, it says, have faith in God. And there's actually translations that are very accurate that say have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. But I think if you could start with having faith in God, that your faith can become the faith of God. Does that make sense? See, so I can let that progress that way. Verse 23, Jesus said this, for assuredly I say unto you, for assuredly, what does he do? He says. See, so what he's doing is he's conveying the power of his words to become the power of your words. It's a real easy connection to make. For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, this authority that's hovering over you, this threatening nature of the world that you're dealing with in your life, whoever says this mountain, be removed to be cast into the sea, and doesn't receive any doubt in his heart, doesn't doubt in his heart. Man, you'll have a doubt. A doubt will come to you. I'm not letting it come in. See, the nature of the world is fear. Everything operates by fear. So now, what does fear produce? The fear produces the love of money. What is money? The root of all evil. How does the love of money happen? Through fear. If you don't have it or if you do have it, it doesn't matter. The world is going to try to funnel you into loving it. And the love of money is the root of all evil. How does that happen? It happens through fear. How does fear happen? Anxiety, doubt, unbelief, worry. The Bible says this, don't worry saying. It's natural for you to have worry. But don't put stock, don't put strength, don't put power in that worry, so keep your mouth shut. Don't let it come out of your mouth. The Bible says you eat good the fruit that comes from your lips. You'll want to say it, man, I get a mouthful. Keep your mouth shut. The Bible says be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to wrath. Man, slow to speak. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done. What comes first? You saying it, then you believing it. See, and you'll think, well, that's not genuine. No, duh. You're a new creation in Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Well, I don't feel like that's natural. It's not. It's supernatural. See, let me just tell you something. I can deal with any angle that you want to come on this subject. And let me tell you, you come off of this, you'll come off of it. It might be tomorrow. It might not be next week. It might not be in a month, or it might be years down the road that you'll look up and say, yeah, you know, that faith talk or the word of faith or the life of faith, it didn't work. Well, how does that happen? You just come off it a little bit. I'm telling you, your pursuit has to be the word of faith that's in your mouth, that's in your heart. You keep it there. You keep that word of faith. You exercise your faith by speaking it. But doesn't doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done. You ready for this? You'll have whatever you say. See, serve notice to a cancer diagnosis. Serve notice to bad financial news. And here's how you serve that notice. You don't have to flex. The bold proclamation isn't your volume, but it is the intensity of the passion of your heart. Passion and intensity matters, and it wins. Man, the devil, let me ask you this. Any of you guys have ever been diagnosed with cancer? That diagnosis comes with some intensity where the very next thing, I'm telling you, lockstep with that diagnosis is fear. Whoa, 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 what? And you know, you might look at it and say, whoa, that's not in the plan. Well, the plan is, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. The plan is the righteous get knocked down and they get back up. See, too often we're thinking this is a yellow brick road that we're skipping down with some magical characters, and that's not what it is. No, we're fighting the good fight of faith every single day. How do we do it? We confess with our mouth. We believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth. And you're thinking, man, this is hard to believe because I'm looking at the scan. I'm looking at the x-ray. Well, let me tell you, the facts are strong. Truth is stronger. The facts have power if you designate power to those facts. But the same thing with truth. The thing about facts is they change. The truth never will. See, I'm holding court here. Man, we're witnesses in a trial that God's real, that the devil's deceptive and the devil's a liar and only God's word's the truth. That's what's on trial right now. Mark 11:24, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Do you understand what there's no provision in God's word for unanswered prayer? Do you know that? There's no provision for unanswered prayer. So now you look at it, if you could say it and you could believe it, you're gonna have it. And let me tell you guys raising kids, man, you speak this word of faith every single day into their lives. And you'll say, yeah, but man, you need to have church every single day at home. And I'll tell you why. The devil is. The devil has pounded, how old are you, son? 17. For 17 years, the devil has pounded fear and anxiety and worry and doubt and unbelief in his life every single day. Isn't that right, Raj? So you know what? Man, our words are stronger. So the word of faith that's in your mouth, that's in your heart, the word of faith that we preach, the word of faith that we boldly proclaim, you want bold results from heaven, do you? It only requires bold proclamation from earth. On earth as it is in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Brooklyn asked me last night, she said, Dad, through all this pandemic and everything we've gone through politically and the social unrest in America, she said, what is the verse that you stand on? I said, it's real easy. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that we have what we say. So how does the world win in this scenario that we shut up? See, the redemptive work of God is the most powerful thing on this planet. And you're it. You're it. I got a dog. His name's Hustle. His middle name's Up. He's amazing. He's not redeemed. No, I'm not playing. I'm redeemed. The redemptive work of God is the most powerful thing. He made you a new creation in Christ. He extracted everything good, bad, and indifferent from your life and allowed it to die and put everything brand new on the inside of you. He's not recalibrating us. He's not rebuilding us. He's gutting us. He's doing exactly what happened in the renovation of your house. And let me tell you something. You got a good dadgum deal. The new house you're living in is amazing. Well, that's what God does to us. He just guts us. See, remember Mark 11:23. The emphasis is on the proclamation. See, Joel 3:10, it says, turn your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, somebody help me. Say it again. Say it again. It doesn't say let the strong man be, let the strong man say, it says let the weak say. I feel so weak. I don't know how I'm going to make it, man. I got a horrific doctor's report. Man, And then you know what the devil will say? Once you get a doctor's report, here's the deception of the enemy. He'll try to lead you down a path that the next report you get from that doctor is good. That's a miracle. Science will always turn on itself. You hear me? Let's follow the science. I'm not going to. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow His word. Science will always turn on itself. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, he inquired of the Lord, take this from me, take this from me, take this from me. God said, look, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness is made my perfect strength. Let the weak say that I'm strong. Man, I feel like it seems like my marriage is weak. What are you going to say? My marriage is strong. How's your marriage? It's strong. How's your health? It's strong. And then you know what? Just tell your face. Your countenance matters. How you doing? I'm doing good. Well, tell your face you're doing good. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's counterintuitive. It's illogical. It's like, what? What area of your life are you weak? God's strong. What area of your life you're strong? You don't need God. You feel me? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For when I, see, the reason this building is a holy place is because of these words that you're hearing when you come in here. Now all you have to do is have ears to hear. Ears to hear. Man, do you need a miracle? Man, I'm just telling you, I just need to get the flow of blessings. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed no matter what. Feels like the world surrounded me, but I'm not. It's not. The world hadn't surrounded me. God surrounded me. There's more with me than there are with them. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm created in Christ Jesus for great works, and you know what? I'm just going to walk in them. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Is there anybody in here? Let me ask you, is your life right? Everybody, is your life right with God? Listen, is Jesus the Lord of your life? You'll say, well, but I'm full of worry. I'm not saying this judgmentally, kind of I am. I'm saying this judgmentally, just let me be upfront. If you're here and your life's full of anxiety and worry and fear, Jesus isn't Lord of your life. He's your Savior. You may go to heaven, but I'm not asking you that. I'm saying, is he Lord of your life? In your weakness, is it made his perfect strength? Is that something that man, I'm standing in weakness, but now I'm standing in strength. I took that step. It's just a step. That's all it is. But I'm kind of wallowing in this weakness. If the Hunsingers, man, they had a flood. A couple feet of water came into their house. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? We're going to gut it. Make it brand new. It's a good deal for them. I'm here to tell you. Did they have to go through some pain? Yes. Was there some hardship? Yes. You know why? They didn't want to live in that squalor. They wanted to live. Listen, write this down. If you're striving for greatness, there's going to be some pain. You're going to endure some pain. If I just want to pastor a ho-hum, regular, ordinary church, I'm telling you, I think the devil will leave me alone. But I don't want to. So every day of my life, I get up and I serve notice to the devil. Devil, we are building something great for God, and we are going right through your formation to get it. We're not going around it. We're not going to try to grovel under it. We're not making any bones about it. We are going right through your entire regimen, and we're going to build something great for God. So here we go. And you know what? It puts him on his heels. God, I submit myself to you, to your plans, to your purpose, your pursuits, God. I submit my life to it. And you know what? Now the devil looks up, and devil, I resist you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to go. And he does. And now it's like, what do? I run and not grow weary. I walk and not faint. I mount up with wings as eagles and I soar. See, that's the will of God for you. It's always progression. It's always moving forward. It's always progress. Is your life progressing? Are you better now than you were a year ago? I remember him telling me about believing God for him, and then seeing him in that, we were playing basketball in that building, and he came in and we're moving chairs, and I thought, this is the guy that he's believing God for, so I'm hooking up with him. Now, he never misses, and these guys came along, and it's like, what happens? It's because God's pouring out a blessing upon him that he's too great for him. He's pouring his spirit upon you, and he's filling you. So what's happened? It's overflowing. What's it doing? It's getting on you. It's getting on you. It's getting on you. It's getting on all the people that you're impacting. We can't lose until we stop. Well, I'm just taking a break from church. You're stupid. Don't do it. Please don't do it. I'm begging you not to be stupid. Is that preacher calling me stupid? Yes. Man, look what God's doing in your life. God's forming you. God's grooming you. Man, every time I see you, you become more in the image of his son. And that's the predestiny we live in. It's not a broken arm. It's not a miscarriage. We're predestined to be transformed into the image of his son. How are we sons that were led by his spirit? You're like, I want to be there. Be led by his spirit. How are you led by his spirit? You speak his word. You say it so often you convince yourself. I'm convinced. I'm not selling. I'm sold. It's like, we're better than this. Are we better than this? You're created in Christ Jesus for great works. And then you know what the Bible says? Now just go walk in them. God's called me to walk in great works. Well, I don't know, that church is too big. You want to go to a big church. And you'll say, why? Because it's impacting people. Right. The bigger the ship, the more people, the bigger the ship, the bigger the storm you can handle. I dare you to be going through a storm right now and walk up to five people where four of them aren't going to help you get through that storm. That aren't going to have the right words to get you through. I promise you, they're all around you. But see, we don't intuitively think that way about church. So we come in. I'm in a storm. So I'm going to go to church. I don't even have to tell the guys around me I'm in a storm. They know I am. So you know what they'll say, man? Great word. Here, this point. I had a throw-in Wednesday night that changed my life. I'd never thought about it before until I heard it come out of my mouth. You want to know what it is? Changed my life. Something I said. That I said, and then I thought about it. Anybody ever, you've done that. It's like, dear God, I said that without even thinking. Usually it's like, I wish I hadn't have. But this time I'm glad I did. Because the Bible says seed time and harvest. And you know what I said? Seed faith and harvest is what it is. I'm like, oh yeah, God gave me a measure of faith for that time. It was powerful. It changed my life. See, that's what happens when we get into this flow. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that God has for those who walk uprightly.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.